You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
New year, new you, new minimum wage. With the Marketplace Morning Report in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler and for David Brancaccio. First, in the 11th hour yesterday, President Trump extended a ban on work visas and green cards that was set to expire with the new year. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with the implications. Nova, good morning.
Good morning.
So many businesses have been outspoken about what this ban means for them. What's the president's rationale for keeping the ban in place?
The president cited lost jobs because of the pandemic and concerns about keeping the coronavirus from spreading. He's previously said he wants to keep American workers from having to compete with foreign workers, especially with the country struggling to bring back jobs that have been lost. Now, the ban affects several types of immigration. Green cards issued abroad, mostly for the purposes of family reunification. Also, worker visas, such as the popular H-1B visas. Those are used a lot by the tech industry to bring in highly skilled workers. And J-1 visas used by students and a number of others, Andy.
And what about the practical implications of these bans, both for those immigrants and for businesses?
Well, that's unclear. The extension Trump just signed would keep the bans in place through March. But these bans are largely not in effect now because business groups sued and a federal judge issued an injunction that allows most worker visas to continue. Now, the focus now is, what will the Biden administration do? Will they keep the bans in place until March? Well, we know Biden supports worker visas for highly skilled foreigners. He hasn't specifically addressed these bans, but he has vowed to undo a lot of Trump's immigration policies.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thanks.
You're welcome.
Around 20 states raised their minimum wages with the new year, which means this year 30 states in the District of Columbia will have a higher minimum wage than the federal rate, which sits at $7.25 and hasn't increased since 2009. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Ginzer explains.
Faith Booker works at McDonald's and Burger King in Lakeland, Florida, making $9.70 an hour at McDonald's and $8.56 an hour at Burger King. She worked full-time at both chains for about 9 months. Then McDonald's cut her hours.
I'm just pretty much struggling right now, just trying to make ends meet. So it's like paycheck to paycheck, pretty much.
Booker is now choosing between paying bills and buying clothes for her kids. Florida voters approved a ballot measure in November raising the state's minimum wage to $8.65 an hour now and $10 an hour next September. Booker says right now,
making minimum wage isn't enough to survive on.
This year especially, voters are sympathetic to minimum wage workers on the front lines during a pandemic, according to University of Oklahoma economist Gary Hoover.
The people who work at your local grocery store, the people who work at the gas stations where you get gas.
Hoover says states where minimum wage workers still earn the federal minimum of $7.25 an hour insist that's enough because the cost of living is lower there. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Major markets around the world are closed for New Year's.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
President-elect Joe Biden has vowed to make climate action a top priority in an agenda that would reverse many Trump administration policies. But Kerry King argues that we're thinking about the energy industry all wrong. He's assistant director at the Energy Institute at the University of Texas at Austin, and he wrote a book called The Economic Superorganism. And he joins me now to discuss. Kerry, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Andy.
So when we think of the traditional economic model of the energy industry, what does that model or what do those models get wrong?
Well, my narratives in my book are a little bit more about macroeconomic narratives, or how do people approach what the economy is and how does it grow in general. And so I simplify into the techno-optimistic narrative of infinite growth and substitutability of technologies. On the opposite end of that spectrum is techno-realism, which is to say, well, there are constraints in the world. There are things like physical laws that we understand, and there are constraints of time. And we need to take these into account to actually understand what's possible and how the economy evolves. So those are really the two narratives, and they get applied to the energy industry. And by applying them, I would say, less accurate narratives to how the energy system interacts with the broader economy, I think we get answers from reports and analyses that are less accurate than we can do.
Because you're talking about using the data to then ask different questions and also sort of come up with different narratives and ultimately different answers, right?
Right. So everybody's kind of coming up with their own narratives. In my book, the narratives are, in some sense, straw men, but they're set up so that I can then go into detail about, well, here's a coherent way to think about what the economy is. And one of those ways, or this way, is to say that the economy is an organism like living organisms that needs energy and resources to grow. It needs energy and resource consumption to maintain itself, and it has to distribute these resources internally. So by taking these kinds of physical aspects into account, we have a better interpretation for the economic patterns that we see.
I'm curious sort of how your model fits with this new shift in renewable energy and in sort of the way that we think about zero carbon as well. How does it fit?
So a lot of the shift of the energy system and other industries in general is to, you know, lower marginal costs in general. So you might have higher capital costs, which we take into account, or when we think about things like solar and photovoltaic systems and batteries, they have a high upfront capital cost, lower marginal cost. And this is essentially the same kind of growth pattern we see in biology and ecosystems, in the sense that the last bits of growth of an animal consume less energy than the previous set. So it's a similar pattern that we might see in ecosystems.
Kerry King is a research scientist and assistant director at the Energy Institute at the University of Texas at Austin. Kerry, thanks again for doing this.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
And in 2021, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.